Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful morning on the Mid-North Coast. Last week, I told you that I'm going to present to you a little two-letter word that will just change everything. It has for me, and perhaps it will for you. That word is if. I know, small little word. Jesus used that little two-letter word many times. And today we're going to talk about just why and look at how he did that. But you see, the word if is powerful because it does not allow us to sit and do nothing. It engages our responsibility. Let me show you what I mean. Go back with me to Luke chapter 15, verse number 7 that we looked at last week. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Again, this is an amazing promise from Jesus that we all want in our lives. But the word if asks for our engagement with what he said. Oswald Chambers gives us a little different perspective on this. Many of us think that Jesus demands things from his followers. Oswald Chambers says it's not a demand, but it's an invitation. So when we see the word if, let's look at it as an invitation. He is inviting us into his very best. Now, keep in mind, when Jesus is speaking here, he's talking to his immediate followers, people that were sold out to him. He was inviting them into his very best. There's some sacrifices involved with that, too. We're not going to look at that today, but just keep that in mind. Now, let's look at another one, John 15, verses 10 through 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The whole purpose of his invitation to us to come into what he is doing is that his joy will be in us, and there is no other way for his joy to be in us. The only way to be happy in Jesus, the old hymn says, is to trust and obey. Again, if invites us our engagement. And if we will engage, it invites the lasting, Jesus-given, Holy Ghost-empowered joy that the world cannot understand. But it starts with if, or will you? You see? So let me just say something else about the if. If invites our participation with Jesus, and that decision is ours. Yes, we can choose to say no. And if we do, well, we're on our own. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to hear this. I believe that you and I can have the absolute best that Jesus wants for us, and it depends on how we respond to that word, if. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done. Isn't that what we want? But that takes place on the other side of if. Okay, let's look a little further at this little two-letter word, if. Our journey in the Christian walk begins with if. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's how we know we get into the body of Christ. But it begins with if. So, have you confessed or agreed with God that Jesus is Lord of your life? Not just Jesus is Lord, but is Jesus Lord of your life? That's so important. It's easy to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's God. But have we removed ourselves off the throne of our life and installed Jesus as the CEO or the boss of our lives? Come on, folks. That's what needs to happen. And in so many of our lives, we haven't done that yet. Let's look at another if. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, well, you've heard this one before, but it starts with if. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have we confessed or agreed with God that our sin is wrong? Come on now, have we done that? And once we confess that sin, we'll move away from it. We'll leave it alone. We won't do it anymore. Have we confessed that sin? I believe there's a lot of sins that we carry around with us because we haven't agreed with God that they're wrong. We have justified them and we've said, it's just so much fun, or it's just me. It's just wrong. And if we confess that sin and turn from it, then and only then will God cleanse us and wipe us clean. See, Jesus invites us to get it right. Let's go to another if in Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for sure, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Boy, what another promise. If you have faith, you can say to the mountain, removed, and it's going to be gone. But it begins with an if. Are you staring at a huge mountain? Are you looking at something right now? It just seems like you just can't get through. It's just standing in the way, and you're about to throw up your hands. Well, Jesus says, if you have that faith, you can move the mountain. Basically, he'll remove that mountain if we'll have that faith in him. Could you ever imagine just how powerful one little two-letter word is? Now let's look at two well-known people in the Bible. First, let's look at Martha, the sister of Mary. We know that Lazarus, Martha's sister, had died, and humanly speaking, the girls were in an impossible situation, or at least humanly speaking. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he challenges Mary and Martha in their grief. You see, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and if he were to show up, it would not be a pretty sight, and you know what I'm talking about. Listen what Jesus said to Martha in John 11:40. Jesus said to him, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Do you see that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? That was an invitation to the impossible. Somebody believed. Martha believed, and Jesus fulfilled the impossible, and he raised the dead. He raised the dead in Lazarus's day. He's still raising the dead today. He can change people's lives. He can lift them out of their sin and bondage and disgust and place them on the right road and use them for his glory if we'll just believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Will you respond to the Lord's if? Now, one more story from the life of Jesus. We all know the rich young ruler that Jesus engaged with. As the story goes, the young man came to Jesus and he asked the question, "What do I have to do to have eternal life?" A noble question. Jesus responds, "You must keep the commandments." Well, the rich guy says, "I've done all of these from my youth." This guy was a good man. He was a very good Jew. He was probably some of the best of the best. Now comes the invitation from Jesus. Matthew 19, verse 21, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect," he says, "go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have your treasure, have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." There is an invitation to join him and be a disciple. But the young man was rich and he could not give up his things to follow Jesus. Listen, a positive response could have placed him right in the heart of changing the world, but he chose to say no to the Lord's if. Listen, his thing stood in the way of the promise and power of Jesus. His temporary fun and comfort stood in the way of eternal joy. Some of us do the very same thing when Jesus gives us an if and invites us into his very best. So, how do we stop saying no to the Lord's invitation of if? I want to return to some verses that I consider to be my life verses, and I've tried to build my life on those, and I return to them all the time. It's from Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. The writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Let me make that simple. I'm going to put it in Tony's words. Trusting Jesus, even if we don't understand, then recognizing him as Lord of our lives will bring his supernatural blessing and leadership into our lives. That simply means completely and thoroughly abiding in Jesus. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to trust him even if life falls apart? If we will abide in Jesus and let his words abide in us, then we can ask anything in his name and he can and will do the impossible. That's the impossible if we'll abide in him and let his words abide in us. If we'll do that, we'll see the impossible completed. Let me share with you the words of a song that illustrates that. God can do anything with anything. He can heal any hurt, any suffering, every cross, every care, every burden he can bear for anyone, anywhere. God can do anything. He turns nothing into something. He's the giver of life. He gives hope to the hopeless and sight to the blind, and he makes the impossible possible. When there's no other way, and he makes the blackest sin as white as snow. That's what we can say. God can do anything with anything. He can heal my heart, my suffering, every cross, every care, every burden he can bear for anyone, anywhere. God can do anything. Praise the Lord. And hallelujah. Father, thank you for the promises of Jesus. Help us to grasp them and pull them into our lives. But it starts with an invitation. Help us to respond positively to the Lord's if. In Jesus' name, amen.